Beautiful place that we can gather together in. I want to begin by passing on greetings from Mrs. Uchida. Many of you will know this former missionary to Japan, who is a dear sister here of the church. She's in the Finnish manor after a number of weeks in the hospital. She's getting better, and if you'd like to visit her, please let Riyadh know, and she'll give you the address, and she would love to see some of us come. She's got all kinds of amazing stories to tell, so we're grateful for Mrs. Uchida in our life. Father in heaven, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We know that you have a reason for bringing us here, and we know that you want to speak to us. Only you have words of eternal life, and we need them. We sometimes think we can manage on our own, but when we end up with our heads against the wall, we realize that doesn't work. And so we ask that you would open our hearts, open our minds, open our ears to hear your words of eternal life, that you would speak into our lives, that you would teach us. And as we consider prayer as the topic of our discussion today, we want to begin by praying as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, who here does not like receiving gifts? Oh, I should have asked for a show of hands. There are no hands. And I'm assuming that we all like to receive gifts. I know it's not Christmas yet, but there are birthdays and parties and block parties and wonderful occasions where we do sometimes receive gifts. And I would love to talk to you about gifts. This Sunday, next Sunday, and the following Sunday, I would like to share three gifts that I believe God has given every believer. And if you're not a believer, he wants to give them to you as you come to him in faith. Let's briefly think about why we love gifts. First of all, they're free. And don't we all love to have something for free that we didn't have to work for? Secondly, they're undeserved. And deep down, we know that we really haven't deserved the gifts that we receive. And thirdly, they're nicely packaged. At least most of them are. And we love the suspense involved in unpackaging, in taking off the wrapper and finding out what's inside. But what if we don't unpack a gift? What if that gift is still lying where the Christmas tree used to be, and the wrapper is still on, and we don't know what's inside? How does that reflect on us as receivers? How does that reflect on the giver? On our appreciation for who actually gave us that gift, if we don't unpack the gift. I think that too often in spiritual matters, we don't unpack the gifts. They're there. We all know about Ephesians 6 and the armor of God, but how often do we actually take up the armor and put it on spiritually? It's there. But God doesn't throw it at us. He doesn't shove it in our face. We have to do it. We have to unpack those gifts. And so, I would like to share with you five essentials that I've come to understand are part of every believer. I think that every believer has been given three gifts. The first one is prayer, 24/7 hotline to God. The second one is scripture. God's holy word speaking to us, the living word, right now. The third one is discipleship. We don't have to walk this walk alone. And the last two, the fourth and fifth, are responses. As we receive and unpack these gifts, we want to respond with thankfulness. And the first response is in service. We serve. We serve others. We serve in church. We serve in the community. We serve the Lord. And the last one is witnessing. And oh, how I know that this last one is probably the most difficult. But as we embrace the gifts as we serve, it will become natural to also want to witness. And today we'll just be focusing on prayer, although some of these other aspects will also be drawn in. When God takes us out of this realm of darkness and brings us into His kingdom of light, we become children of God by adoption. We become part of the family of God, but there's something new that happens. Our Heavenly Father wants to develop a relationship with us. And one of the ways in which this happens is through prayer. We all know that as toddlers, we kind of begin with just saying help, right? We don't have Maya here today, but she would be a great example of saying, ah! And translated, that just means help, right? We don't always know what the help is meant for, but praise the Lord, He always knows what our cries of help are meant for. He knows each and every one of our needs, and He loves to come to help. Many of the Psalms cry out to God for help. But then as the toddler grows up and begins to speak, we have that wonderful word that just doesn't seem to want to stop. It's gimme, 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 gimme. Right? And of course, we love that smile when we can actually give that candy or whatever that the child wants and so on and so forth. And yes, as we grow in faith, that's also part of what we do. We ask, Lord, we ask for this, or we need this, or whatever, and we come to Him in prayer, and He knows our needs, and He loves to give us good things. He doesn't give us any garbage. He only gives us good things. But then, I believe we come to a place, as we mature in our faith, where it's not about gimme, but what do You want, Lord? What do You want? Tell me what You would want me to do, what You would want me to say. I need Your help, but I want to do what You want. I believe that the prayer of the believers that we find in Acts chapter 4 reflects this kind of maturity, and I'd like to invite you to open up your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 23. I'm not sure what the page number in the Pew Bible is, so if somebody has that, shout it out nice and loud. 1316. Thank you, Anne-Marie. I'll be reading from the NIV, and it'll be very close to what you've got with you. All the believers were one in heart and mind. I'm sorry, this is wrong. 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When the believers heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. And here's the prayer. Sovereign Lord, they said, You made the heaven and the earth and the sea, everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of Your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against His anointed one, against His Messiah. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against Your holy servant Jesus, whom You anointed. Your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. And now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the reading from the word of the Lord. Can you imagine praying and then feeling the place where you're praying shaken? Wow. That is an experience these Christians would have never forgotten. That is an experience they've shared with many others, encouraging them to pray in this way. And it seems to me that we need to discover this prayer as well. There are a few things that kind of struck me as I was meditating on this passage. And the first thing I noticed is that this is a communal prayer. All the believers there raised their voices together in prayer to God, verse 24. In Acts 12, verse 12, we read that many people had gathered and were praying at Mary's house. That's the situation where Peter was in prison for a number of days. But even though it was in the middle of the night, even though it had been many days since he last saw those Christians, he went straight to the house of Mary because he knew they would be gathered there. They would be praying there. And it seems to me that this is a similar situation where Peter and John have been dragged off into prison overnight. Next day, dragged in front of the Sanhedrin. We don't know if they're going to go back into prison or not. We have no idea how this is going to end. But what we do is come together and pray. And there's lots of us there. We come together and pray. And then all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. Rhoda goes and opens the door. I don't know if Rhoda's there in this case or not. But Peter and John come in, and we're just so happy to see them. We're happy to see them because we've been praying for them. And now, of course, we want to find out how our prayers have been answered. And they tell us this story that we read in chapter 4. And it's not such a nice story, actually, because they tell us that all the 70 elders of Israel have decided that if we speak out in the name of Jesus, we will be hauled into prison, tortured, and likely killed. So what do we do in this situation? We pray again. Yes, we pray. But what do we pray? Do we pray that this persecution would stop? That God would zap all of these guys and kind of clean them out? Friends, we're going to come to that. And it's amazing. There are four prayer requests, and if none of them have to do with stopping the persecution. But coming together, I think, is the first point that we really want to understand in a new way. Pastor Vic and our elders have constantly been inviting us to come to pray on Tuesday, and it doesn't seem to help very much. There's a few people that come, and each of those that come is really blessed. We don't need to have a show of hands, but I know it. Because I go. Friends, the people that were not there when these Christians were praying in Acts chapter 4 missed out. They missed out on this outpouring of the Spirit. They missed out on the shaking. They missed out on the boldness. They missed out. We need to be together. We need to come together in prayer. This is what the church is all about. The church is not about solo Christians doing their own thing and kind of coming together for a block party or a Sunday service or whatever. Doesn't mean we want to stop those things. But friends, today we want to focus on why we need to come together to pray. Because the Lord wants us to. It's not just one of those optional add-ons. Okay, I'm going to Finally make it out to Tuesday. Hope they don't call me to pray. Don't have nothing to say. Oh, no, come. Come. You don't need to say anything. Nobody's going to put you on the spot. Come and be part of what God wants to do. The second thing that kind of hit me was right at the beginning of the prayer. The believers begin by saying, Sovereign Lord, Creator of the heavens, the earth and the sea and all that is in them. This is verse 24. There's a distinct sense of awe here. There's a distinct sense of we know who we're speaking to. We know who this awesome God is, the Creator of the universe, and we're coming into His presence and we need Him. We want Him to hear what we're saying. But we do this in a way where we're not just tossing off something glib, but first of all, we recognize who it is that we're speaking to. To give us an impression of the intensity of the Greek word behind what is translated here as Sovereign Lord, let us take a brief look at a prayer in Revelation 6, which uses the same words. Revelation 6, verses 9 to 11. Last book in the Bible, Revelation 6, 9 to 11. When the angel opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony that they had maintained. So these martyrs are now going to pray, and they call out in a loud voice, How long, Sovereign Lord? This is the same Greek word that we have here in Acts chapter 4. How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants and brothers who were to be killed. There are more to be killed, friends, more of us to be killed, as they had been, was completed. This is a painful prayer. This is a prayer of people who know what it is to stand up in the face of opposition and say, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. And Jesus died for your sins as well. And your life can be changed from the mess that you're in into something wonderful if you just surrender. And some of these martyrs sang and prayed as they were killed. Stephen saw heaven opened up and Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. These are the people who are praying, Sovereign Lord. They know this Sovereign Lord in person. Do we know this Sovereign Lord? The third thing that really hit me are those four prayer requests at the end. We're not going to go into the entire prayer. There's really so much meat. We should actually go into the mentioning of the Holy Spirit as well, which follows this Sovereign Lord. But we're just going to jump to the end of the prayer and talk about those four prayer requests. The first prayer request is a prayer request for boldness. Sovereign Lord, in the face of what's going on, and if in the face of these threats, you know these threats. You've heard them. You were there in the Sanhedrin. In the face of these threats, we want you to make us, all of us here, bold to do exactly what they don't want us to do. To go out and preach your word. To go out and tell the people the good news. Wow. This is a prayer that pleases our Father in heaven. This is what He wants to hear. From us, chickens, from us who are scared to open our mouth when there's an opportunity. He wants us to pray for boldness, and He will give us boldness. This prayer request was answered immediately. The place was shaken, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and everyone received boldness to speak the Word of God. Do we want boldness, or do we prefer to hide? Do we want to see the power of God active in and through us? Or do we just want to make sure that nobody ruffles the feathers And hopefully nobody knows that we're a Christian because they just might ask a question. Friends, I think this is so important. I know it's number 5 on the list of prayer, scripture, discipleship, serving, and witness. But it is essential. And we can't do without. We can't just have the first 4 and say, oh, we're doing all right. No, we need all 5. And this is the first request that these Christians pray. The next 3 requests are connected in the original Greek. In the original Greek, it says, Sovereign Lord, would you stretch out your hand? Would you extend your hand? And what do we do? What do we want you to do with your extended hand? We want you to do 3 things with your extended hand. We want you to heal with your extended hand. We want you to do signs with your extended hand. And we want you to do wonders with your extended hand. Let's briefly take a look at how each of these prayer requests were answered. Turn with me to Acts chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. So it's the same, the next chapter, the very, very next chapter from the prayer that we're reading. Acts chapter 5, 15 and 16. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets of Jerusalem and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by evil spirits, and all of them were healed. This is God's answer to a prayer for God. We think it would be nice if you could do some healing. He says, you want some healing? I'll show you what healing is all about. When was the last time we've seen healing like this? People lining the streets to Ruth Morton, saying, please, 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 we need your prayers, we need your healing, we need God to come. Friends, this doesn't happen when we ask for Uncle John to be healed or Aunt Sally or something like that. This only happens when we say, God, stretch out your hand. We need your healing. Do it in your way, in your time. But we need it. We need it for the sake of the kingdom. We need it for your sake. We need it for the sake of your glory. We don't know how many of these healed people just walked away happy that they were healed and how many of them came to faith in Jesus Christ. But we know that all of them were changed. Not everyone that Jesus healed also became a disciple. But we know that that divine touch left them with the decision of their life. Am I going to be one of the 9 lepers cleansed? Or am I going to be the 10th who comes to give thanks and glory to God and say, I'm just so thankful to be cleansed and healed that I want to follow you. I want to give the rest of my life to devoting to God, the Almighty God, the one who can heal, the one who heals. Wow. Sovereign Lord, stretch out your hand to heal. The second prayer request, the third actually, but the next one here connected with the stretching out the hand is signs. We don't need to read the entire story of Ananias and Sapphira. I'm sure most of you know it. But I do want to read what happened. Let's read Acts 5, verses 11 to 14. Probably on the same page. So 11. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. This is just after Ananias was zapped dead. Sapphira comes in just a few moments later. We're not sure exactly how long. Zap! Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. I think great fear would seize us too if that were to happen right here as well. The apostles performed many miraculous signs, not just this one, but this one is recorded for us, and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Ultimately, when God does a sign, He doesn't do it just to show off. He does it for the kingdom. When Jesus gets asked by the Pharisees, show us a sign, show us a sign. He had just finished feeding 5,000 people. Come on, you want a sign? You just saw it with your own eyes. Jesus says, no, no, no. The only sign I'm going to give you is the sign of Jonah. Huh? The sign of Jonah? Yep. Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, and so will the Son of Man. That's your sign. Signs are not just there to be thrown around. Signs are there for the kingdom, for God's purpose. God wants to open people's eyes. God wants to shake us up. And so when something like this happens and we get shaken up, I hope we get shaken up for God, because that's what the Lord wants, and that's where the blessing lies. Not in the shaking up, no. But what happens after. When people come to faith in Jesus Christ, and more get added to their number, when they grow in faith, when we go out, and we're not ashamed. Wonders. We also read about one of the wonders that God performed, and we just read that they performed many more signs and wonders. But let's turn to Acts 5:17 to 21a, just to read about this one wonder. Then the high priest and all his associates were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them all out. Go, stand in the temple courts, he said, and tell the people the full message of this new life. At daybreak, they entered the temple courts, as they had been told by the angel, and began to teach the people. Right. How easy is it for one person to break out of jail? It's not that easy. But how easy is it for 12 people? 12 people to break out. I mean, that's a little bit more of noise than one. You can't kind of hide around the corner with 12 people. Nope. When God comes, opens the door, those 12 are seen in the temple. And they come the next day, and they're expecting to see them in jail, of course. That's what jails are there for, right? Until somebody comes and says, hey, guess what? They're all in the temple, the ones you locked up. Ha, ha, ha. That's God. Is that a wonder? I think that's a wonder. Do we want wonders to happen here and now? We're going to have to ask for them. This didn't just happen at random. I think what these believers understood was that in this time of crisis, where everyone wants them to shut up, and do people around us want us to shut up? Oh, yes. They don't want to hear about Jesus. In this time of crisis, they recognized four big things. They said, we need boldness. And you got to give it to us. We don't have this. We're chickens on our own, but you can give us boldness. We ask for boldness to speak your word. Not just talk about the weather, but talk about Jesus. But we also recognize that it would be so helpful if you came down, if you showed yourself in power, if you stretched out your hand to do some healing, God. That would be so amazing. We want you to come and heal. We want you to come and do signs, and we want you to come and do wonders. We don't know what's going to happen. We have no clue about what those signs and wonders are going to look like. We don't know who's going to be healed, but you know who's going to be healed. You know what signs and wonders you want to do, because you know what works in your plan for the kingdom. And this is what we want. We want your will in your way. That's what we're praying. And friends, when this is how we pray, stuff will happen. I guarantee you, God is like that. It will happen in His way, in His time. But be ready for this place to be shaken. Be ready for you to be shaken up. So I think the only appropriate thing that we can do is to rediscover this prayer. Pray it yourself, pray it with others, and believe that God is going to change you. He's going to change us. Come together. Come together to pray on Tuesday nights. Invite other people to your place to come and pray. Not just to say grace over a meal, but to pray, pray, pray together. After church, thank you, Will, for announcing that, we're going to have a prayer walk. Is a prayer walk something scary? No, it's not scary. It means that we care enough to have open eyes to see and to bless, to be discerning, and to lift our neighborhood and our neighbors up to the wonderful throne of grace so that He can do that wonderful work of transformation. We can't, but He can. I'm going to ask Andy to please bring up the prayer on our screen so that we can pray this together. When they heard this, they raised their voices to God unanimously and said, let's read this together. Master, You are the one who made the heaven, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. You said through the Holy Spirit by the mouth of our father David, Your servant, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers assembled together against the Lord and against His Messiah. For in fact, in this city, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, assembled together against Your holy servant Jesus, whom You anointed, to do whatever Your hand and Your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, consider their threats and grant that Your slaves may speak Your message with complete boldness, while You stretch out Your hand for healing, signs, and wonders to be performed through the name of Your holy servant, Jesus. Lord Father, we thank You so much that You give us Your words of eternal life in the form of Scripture that feeds us, that nourishes us, that challenges us, that allows us to grow in faith and in our relationship to You. Lord, thank You so much for this prayer that You love. We recognize that You love this prayer. And we ask that You make us people of prayer, that You allow us, like Paul, to get down on our knees on the beach in front of everyone else and pray, that You allow us to be those people who not only say to others, I will pray for you, but pray with them in their need. Lord, bring us together to pray on Tuesday nights. Bring us together in houses to pray. And Father, we know that this prayer will be answered. We know that all our prayers will be answered, not always the way we want them to be, but we know that they will be answered in Your way. Sometimes with a no, sometimes with later, and sometimes with a resounding yes, with an outpouring of Your Spirit, with an answer to a prayer for boldness. And Father, we know that You can do things that scare us sometimes. You zapped Ananias and Sapphira for not telling the truth. And if we were to all be zapped for not telling the truth, I don't know how many would be here. But we still want Your signs and wonders, even if they scare us. Shake us up, Lord, so that we would be on fire for You. And so that many would be touched and changed, transformed, taken out of this world of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light, following Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.